Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us how to pray. That was the title that Pastor Bowling put in your bulletin, and he called me yesterday, and I guess you're surprised and I'm surprised that I'm here. He is not well. He's in the hospital at his GBMC. I saw him this morning. He's severely dehydrated, and they will do several tests. But he said, oh, greet them and tell them I'm sorry I can't come, and I will certainly come and visit them. So I guess you are very dear to him because he served you for 3 years. So I'm surprised, and you're surprised. And in fact, he thought he could still do it. He called me at noon yesterday, and he said, Otto, he calls me Otto, would you do the service? But let me call you in the evening. Maybe I can still do it. And I said, Parti, if you want me to do it, you better say, because I need some time to prepare myself. And so, but then his daughter-in-law called and said she had to take him to the hospital. So let us begin our sermon with praying for Pastor Bolick. Dear Father in heaven, we pray for Pastor Bolick. Be with him with your Holy Spirit to comfort him, to strengthen him, and to bring healing to him. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our physician. We entrust Pastor Bolick into your care. Restore him to health. Amen. So praying for healing and words of intercession, are all also well in place in your congregation? You were gracious enough, Mr. Lambert was gracious enough to send me the bulletin, and I counted you have 35 names in the bulletin and 5 families. So there's a lot of intercession that you do in your congregation. Prayer is not an option for us Christians. Prayer is a necessity. It is a necessity, and we could compare it with a parallel need. Just as we need food for the body, so we need prayer for the soul. We need to pray because prayer puts us in communication with our Heavenly Father. Maybe you remember still the introduction to the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism. There Luther writes, God wants to attract us so that we come to believe He is truly our Father and we are truly His children, in order that we may ask Him boldly and with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving father. Or we might add, just as loving children ask their loving mother. So, I like these words in the beginning. God wants to attract us. This sounds like an invitation. This sounds like an encouragement, even an enticement. Because when we are in the presence of God, we are choosing life. Prayer means to be in the presence of God. It means we choose life. And so in our gospel, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, just as John taught his disciples. I guess it's probably a rabbinical idea or a rabbinical custom or tradition that each teacher would have a prayer for his disciples. Because the prayer also identifies who the teacher is. And so when we pray the Our Father, we identify with God. We remember that Jesus identifies God as his Heavenly Father. And actually in Aramaic it is Abba, Abba, which is what children would say, Abba, dear Father. And Paul echoes that in his letter to the Romans. And so Jesus, just like John, teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And I was wondering, well, what was the prayer of John? And there is not really a prayer in our Gospel, but we know that John the Baptist preached and proclaimed and stressed the baptism of repentance to prepare for the way of the coming of the Lord by showing solidarity with the poor. He would say, share your coat with anyone who does not have one as well as your food. In other words, prayer also demands action, demands a response on our part. We cannot pray and not be involved with those who are in need. And John always points to Jesus. Behold, the kingdom is at hand, because in the Our Father to thy kingdom come is very, very central. That is the direction that Jesus points. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is present. In fact, Jesus is the kingdom. Now, Jesus was a man of prayer. Many, many times in the Gospel it is said that he went away to a distant place or to a lonely place, or he was searching out a certain time where he could be alone with his Heavenly Father. We do not understand the person of Jesus Christ if we do not understand that for Jesus, the unity with his Father was supreme. The unity with his Heavenly Father was absolutely necessary. And this is the greatest difference between Jesus and the Pharisees, or the people, or Jesus and the scribes, the rabbis. For the rabbis' life was always right or wrong. And maybe that's the way the law is. The law is teaching us what we should do, but the law also tells us what is forbidden, what we should avoid. But you see, in that frame of reference, when you have to always choose between good and bad, there is a lot of tension. There's a lot of polarity. Jesus never had to choose between right or wrong. But Jesus, whenever he gave an answer, always gave it out of that unity that he had with his Heavenly Father. He lived within him and had his being in his Heavenly Father. And even at the very end of his life here on earth, when he had to die, when he had to face that dark gate of death, he would say, do you remember? What would he say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that is not a word of despair, but these are the words of Psalm 22, because even at the hour of his death, he prayed. he prayed Psalm 22. And you will remember that on Good Friday, our liturgy always prays Psalm 22. So Jesus was always a man of prayer. He was seeking and living out of that unity with his Father, out of that unity in the presence of his Father. He had a total relationship. That was his state of being. Being in constant communication with the Father. And you see, that is much more than some people think of prayer. It wasn't so hard for me to prepare myself for this sermon because I have a Bible study with the ladies of our church, and so we had that text on Tuesday. And so I also attend a pastor's Bible study, so I had the pastor's Bible study, and then I had the Bible study with the ladies. And I asked the ladies, well, what does prayer mean? What is prayer? And most people say prayer is talking to God, speaking to God. Well, yes, of course. And often we think of prayer as asking for something. And of course here in the Gospel says, ask and you shall receive. But for some people, asking seemed to be the only thing that they want from God. But your God is not like Santa Claus. Sometimes you pray for something and it won't happen. Sometimes our prayers are not answered in the way that we want them to answer. And so prayer is much more than just asking and hoping that God will fulfill our wishes. We know that He listens to us and He wants to help us. But He wants to help us in a way that we conform ourselves to His will. Thy will be done. Being in prayer with God has a transformative quality for all of us. Praying means to choose life and to be in that presence of God that is giving us the feeling of safety and comfort. For 14 years, I have served as a chaplain to seamen, to sailors. And I've crossed the ocean many times, sometimes in small ships and sometimes in big boats. I have never been on one of those huge super container ships that they now have. But even those huge boats, those huge ships, when they are in a storm, they are just like a nutshell in the water. And I remember sailors talking to me saying, you know, whenever we are in a heavy storm, we pray. Everybody prays. Because people in a storm are aware of their own vulnerability. They acknowledge their insignificance, their powerlessness. And we trust God to protect us. And so praying in extreme situation is a need. It's normal for all of us. But at the same time, it should also become the motivator to be close to God. Praying to God is the first step. But it should lead us to be transported into that presence of God where we feel safe. Where we know He is here for us. To help us to endure, to help us to accept, and to help us to entrust ourselves even in difficult situations. I remember, I imagine many of you have been in a hospital. Maybe many of you have had an operation. And I remember having a kidney taken out because of cancer. And I remember praying with my wife and my children. And even in that situation, there was fear and anxiousness on the part of all of us. There is that mental, emotional, spiritual atmosphere that is not free from anxiety and from fear. But once you're on the operation, on the operating table, all you can say, thy will be done. Once you are on the operating table, you know, you can only entrust yourself into God's care and into the hands of those who participate in the operation. And I remember also being back in the hospital room after the operation. I realized that I couldn't move very much. There was so much pain, I thought, gosh, I can't even turn at all anymore. But I prayed. And although I couldn't turn, I realized God is with me. I survived the operation. And in that prayer of thanksgiving, I didn't care whether I could move or not, but I was thankful to be alive. I was thankful to be in the presence of God. And so I encourage you, when you pray, to go and to be, to know that you are in the presence of God and all is well. May the Lord bless you in your prayer life. It's not an option. It's a necessity. But when you pray, you choose life. Amen. The peace of God which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.